Arise is a platform where God is raising an army of men that knows God, loves God, and live their lives in the light of God's purpose.
Welcome to Arise Shine Christian Network.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, we are praying. Please be seated. Lord. Welcome tonight to the fellowship. I pray that the Lord will grant you a definite encounter tonight in the name of Jesus. The Lord will be doing many mighty things in our midst. Just make sure you are not distracted. I know that God will be doing a great works in our midst tonight. And so I want to plead with every one of us, no matter what is happening around, just set your gaze on Jesus and set your ears on the words that He says. I apologize that we have to make do with this place tonight. And like I would say, we are not in Rehoboth yet. We are still on the way. And so these are one of the experiences that comes with having to move from one place to the other. And we trust that the Lord will take us into the place of our comfort in the name of Jesus. And we're grateful for this, that He has given us the privilege, for the favor that He has given to us, even to make do with His facility in the name of Jesus Christ. Amongst many things, God will be destroying the stronghold of poverty tonight in the lives of men and even in our midst in the name of Jesus. Poverty is not from God. Poverty is not of the kingdom. Jesus died to bring us into wealth and abundance. And any religion that suggests to us that we have to be poor in order to serve God is not of God. This is why, by the mercies of the Lord, we have had the privilege and the opportunities to be exposed at such a time as this to kingdom wealth system. By this teaching that we began some couple of weeks ago, God intends to bring us into the systems, the programs that He ordained for the prosperity of the saints. God intends to bring us into His plans, His purposes, His precepts, and the access that He has prepared for the believers to be able to access the wealth that has been reserved for us in the kingdom. The kingdom where we belong is the world of the kingdom. The kingdom where we belong is the prosperous kingdom. And so you cannot be in a prosperous kingdom and live in poverty. It becomes an anomaly. One of the scriptures we considered last week was, I want us to open there, 2 Corinthians chapter number 8 and verse 9. 2 Corinthians, I want to encourage that you please, as much as possible, lay your hands on the part 1 and the part 2 of this series. I'm sure we will still not be able to finish tonight because of the enormity of what has to be taught. But make sure you listen to the part 1, listen to the part 2. It's available on our YouTube platform. Make sure you access them so that you can be in context of what the Lord is doing in our midst. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9. You remember this scripture? Everybody look up. Let's look at the screen. It's projected. You remember the scripture that is projected to us? Can we read it together again? 1, 2, go. If you can say, read loud and clear. 1, 2, go. I want you to read it for yourself now, making it personal to yourself. Are you ready now? 1, 2, go. For I know the grace of my Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for my sake he became poor, that I through his poverty might become rich. You see, the scripture just told us immediately that anyone that suggests to you that Christ died to make you poor is a blunt liar. Are we together now? By this scripture we see that the death of Christ did not only bring us salvation from sin. The death and the resurrection of Christ did not only bring us salvation from sickness. The death and the resurrection of Christ brought us salvation from poverty also. He died that we may be wealthy, the same way he died that we may be saved and be righteous. The same blood, the same process that led to our salvation. The same blood, the same process that led to our healing and health and wholeness in the kingdom. It's the same process that led into our riches and our wealth in the kingdom. When we talk about the health and the bodily health of the believer, we see scriptures such as, by his stripe we were healed, that he put upon himself our sicknesses upon the cross, validating that that process of crucifixion that you see, it's not just a mere death to get sinner into righteousness. It has a lot of things to do in restoring as many as possible, as many as possible, who will come to receive the salvation. So every time you remember that Christ died for your sin, also remember that Christ died for your prosperity. This is what the Bible says. It said, I know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that even though he was rich, yet he became poor, that I through his poverty may become rich. Romans chapter 8 and verse 32. Just to touch on these scriptures again, and then we continue our teachings. Romans chapter 8 and verse 32. If you are still with me in the house, shout hallelujah. Romans 8 and verse 32. It's projected. Can you see the scripture? Just look at it on the screen. Look up, look at it on the screen. Let me read it and I want you to follow me. The Bible is speaking to us by the Spirit. It said, He who did not spare his own son, talking about God, he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all. You see that now? God did not spare Jesus, his son, the only begotten of the Father, the precious, the one that has never been separated from him. The Bible says when it comes to our account, it did not spare him. He was given up for us all. How shall he not with him freely give us all things? If you can, give us the NLT version of this scripture. The Bible by this scripture is speaking to us that the best of what God has is Christ. And when it comes to giving him up for us, he was given up for us. So what makes you think that if he has given us the best, what, why will he not with that also give us other things that we desire? The NLT says, since he did not spare even his own son. You see the scripture. Since he did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all. Are we together? He said, won't he also give us everything else? Whosoever preach that God is behind your lack is a liar. Whosoever preach that God keeps you poor in order to keep you humble is a liar. Whosoever teaches that Christianity is for the poor, that there is no package in this Christendom that suggests wealth and prosperity for the believer, is a liar. I believe that you have not enjoyed the fullness of Christianity if you have not entered the wealth reserved in the kingdom. Listen to me again and again. This is the mistake our parents made. They never embraced the complete gospel of the kingdom. They were not taught the whole counsel of God.
They were taught about sanctification, which is true. We must stay sanctified. We must stay holy, even as He is holy. They were taught about not being sick and receiving healing, even for their sickness. They believe that many of them have been able to live 20, 30, 40, 50 years without sickness in their body. Or every time they have any symptoms of sickness, they have the ability and the mind and the faith to step into the world of health that is reserved for us in the kingdom. But they were never taught that the same way they were redeemed to be holy, that the same way they were redeemed to be healthy, that is the same way we were redeemed to be rich. Listen carefully. It is not a sign of spirituality to be poor. It is not a sign of spirituality. A paradigm shift is happening to us tonight, because until you change your mind, you cannot change your life. It is not a sign of spirituality to be poor. Poor people compromise many times. You would have to lie if you are poor. You may have to cut corners if you are poor. This is why God has reserved for us in this kingdom the wealth program and systems. And I'm praying even up front for somebody here that maybe for the first time, and maybe the first person in your generation and in your family, may your eyes be open to see this formula for wealth in the kingdom, in the name of Jesus. Poverty is of the devil. Poverty is of the devil. I have been poor before. I know poverty is worse than the disease. A fearful man is a poor man. At every news that a poor man hears, fear is the response that he gives. Why? The Bible says money is a defense. Are we still together now? Money is a defense. If they, when the US and the UK made a security alert over Nigeria and said something so and so is about to happen, people should be careful. The only people that will so much be afraid of that are the people who are very poor. A rich man can, because of that, take vacation with his entire family out of Nigeria until things are settled. As we are going towards election next year now, there are many rich people in this country who had already programmed their vacation to be out of the country until we are settled down. But a poor man who cannot afford to go anywhere will live all of his days in fear. Listen carefully to what I'm about to teach you tonight. I have been able to lay the foundation by the mercies of God in the part one. I have been able to do a little in the part two. We are entering into the depths, the deep waters tonight. And whatever makes you distracted tonight is about to destroy you. Until light comes, darkness reigns. Hear me carefully. Every time you see darkness, light is absent. Every time you see darkness, light is absent. And every time God is bringing deliverance, the first thing God does is to bring light. Are we together now? Every time you see light, deliverance is coming. Arise, shine, for your light is come. It didn't say arise, shine, even though you are in darkness. There is no way you would ever rise as much as darkness resists. There is no way you would ever shine when you are in darkness. The only thing that has the ability to shine in darkness is light. And right now in the world, you and I can attest to the fact that darkness has covered the earth. People live everywhere now in confusion. People live every day now in fear. People live every time now not knowing what is about to happen. This is the day that the Bible spoke about. And this is the very day that a great light is coming upon the people. I say, may that light come upon you in the name of Jesus. They that sat in darkness have seen a great light. They that sat in darkness. It said, awake, thou that sleepest. Arise, and Christ shall give you light. It means until Christ gives light, you will remain in darkness. But your light comes tonight in the name of Jesus. I say light for kingdom prosperity lands on you tonight in the name of Jesus. I was highly indebted at the time, heavy in poverty, and I began to search the scriptures. I began to listen first to the testimonies of the fathers. Is there no program of God for the believer to live a comfortable life? Does God have interest in the comfort of the believer? Is there no agenda? Is there no program? The same way an employee, we have a medical program for their employer. Don't we have a wealth program in this kingdom? And I began to hear from fathers of faith how that they were poor also at the time until they stumble on this package that is already part of our redemptive packages. I have stories of men like Kenneth Copeland, born with no advantage, highly indebted at a particular point of his life. His wife also, poor and indebted until they found this light. You know one amazing thing about the light? You will not look like it when you find the light. But at the instance of your engagement of the light, it will eventually show for the world to see. When Solomon had an encounter with God, are we together? When Solomon had an encounter with God, and God said, I have given you wisdom, I have given you knowledge, I have given you all of these things. If I was sitting or sleeping beside Solomon, when Solomon woke up, Solomon did not look different. Solomon was still the way it was when he woke up. Solomon was still possibly lean. There was nothing shining on his face, but there is something that has landed on him. And in a matter of time, in a matter of days, weeks, and months, what was given to Solomon in the vision became pronounced to the world. So much so that the queen of Sheba came and said, half of these things were not told me. If you can grasp this light tonight, you may still look the same even as you go back home. You may still look the same even for the next 2, 3, 4 weeks. But you know, it's like a woman that has conceived pregnancy. It may not produce immediately, but time will tell that you are really pregnant. I began to engage. I remember engaging it for a whole year and nothing physically looked changed. Everything still looked the same. I was still broke. I was still indebted. But I know these things works. It has been spoken in the scripture that his words never fail. I have had the testimonies of the patriarch of old, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, that his words never fail. I have heard from the fathers of faith who have gone ahead, men like Archbishop Bensley D'Aosa, that these things never fail. I have seen it in their lives. I stayed at it. Brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, I can tell you that kingdom wealth system is real. All I can say to you tonight is that these things is real. So pay attention. We began our journey by looking at the effect of poverty on the church, on the individual, in the society. 90% of the crimes that we see in our society is money relative. If somebody jumped into the lagoon on the Tomilam Bridge in Lagos, many of the time you would hear that they were highly indebted and they could not handle the shame anymore. If somebody is killed and his head cut off on the road, many of the time you will hear that that person was used for money ritual. If you go to our streets in the night and you meet our ladies standing there as harlot and prostitute, they are not doing it for pleasure or for pleasure. Many of the time you will hear that they need to do this because of money. It then means that if the church of Jesus will not pay attention to money, the church will become slave to the world who has the money. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 7, it said, the rich ruleth over the poor. Give me that scripture, please. Proverbs 22 and verse 7. The rich ruleth over the poor. This is the word. This is the word. If the world become rich and the church become poor, It means the rich world will rule over the poor church. They will tell us how to hold our service. They will tell us how to, when to finish our service. They may even tell us the uniform to wear for the service. The rich rules over the poor. Many of us who are working under people here or in an organization, many of our bosses are not born again. They are not believers. Yet, if they call you right now, even as you are in this service now, and tell you to meet them in the office, you will leave everything you are doing and quickly go there. The rich rules over the poor. And the borrower is always servant to the lender. May the Lord open your eyes tonight. May the Lord open your eyes tonight. May the Lord open your eyes tonight. And then we look at common lies that has been told us about this kingdom prosperity. We look at the common lies such as, it is God that decides who is rich. It is God that decides who will be poor. There is nothing any man can do about it. But that is not true. God gives every man equal chance. God gives every man equal opportunities. God gives every man 24 hours. God gives every man his sun, his rain. The engagement of this time is what determines where we'll be. Are we together tonight? And now we saw that one common lie also that we have heard is that money is the root of all evil. But the Bible did not say so. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6 and verse 10. That is where we are trying to quote. But what the Bible says there is, the love of money, not money, the love of money is the root of all evil. And I did told us, reiterating, that you don't have to have money to have the love of money. In most cases, it is the poor people that have obsession for money. Those who have had money in the context of real wealth, you will see how dissociated they are from this thing called wealth. It is a poor man who doesn't have a good car yet that will be obsessed with a car. Something happened to humanity. The moment you conquer a realm, you are no longer at the mercy of that realm. Many of us, before we gain admission to the university, you know the way you celebrate your friends and your brothers that come from school. Oh, you are back from school. Tell me about school. And you are excited to hear their stories. But what happened to you after you gained admission? I know the euphoria will last for maybe 1 month, 6 months, until you get back to that and say, I want to go home more. This one, somebody have not eaten good food for the last. That was what you were praying for. That was what you were obsessed for. And then we saw the African mindset about wealth, which they always say is that you are too young to access wealth. Wealth does not have age tag. If you get the formula at 13, you can be rich at 13. Not every rich young man is cutting corners. Not every rich young woman is cutting corners. Let me tell you something. If you lay hold on the formula of the kingdom for wealth and prosperity, even if you are 20, you would command wealth and prosperity. Do we agree that if a 10-year-old boy holds the right key to the door and understand its operation at the door, do we agree that that door will open unto him? Is that true? What if a 50-year-old man holds that key also and know the engagement of it? Will the door open the same way? So that means the key does not respond to the age. It responds to the right key and to the right engagement. If you learn driving at 10, you will drive perfectly, provided your leg can touch the pedals and you can hold the steering. And yet we have 50-year-old men who does not know how to drive. It is not about age. It is about accurate understanding. We also believe erroneously that you cannot be rich without cutting corners. I will just keep all of these things for want of time. We looked at what is kingdom wealth, and we agree that kingdom wealth is the wealth that has its source in Christ, entrusted to the believer for kingdom assignments. Are we together now? Kingdom wealth has its source where? In Christ. Can we echo it together? Have its source where? I need your attention, everyone. Please look at me and stay serious. Kingdom wealth has its source in where? Entrusted to who? Shout it loud. Entrusted to who? For what now? Shout it if you know it. For what now? So it means kingdom wealth. For any wealth to be called kingdom wealth, its source must be Christ. Because you don't have to be a Christian to be wealthy. Follow me carefully. I've said this before. Let me reiterate again. You don't have to be a Christian to be wealthy. But you would have to be the believer to be wealthy in the kingdom context. When it comes to wealth, there are two platforms that power wealth in our world. Number one is the secret place, the kingdom of God. Number two is the secret court, the kingdom of darkness. So if you are not powered by the kingdom of God, it must not be called kingdom wealth. And you know the bad thing about the world gotten from the kingdom of darkness? The sorrow of those that seek another God shall be many. It is the blessings of the Lord that make it rich and add no sorrow. That is the difference. The wealthy in the world are full of many sorrows. Many of them cannot sleep when they ought to sleep. Many of them dare not eat some particular kind of food, not just for medical reasons. Many of them have to wake up and do funny things. Many of them have to lie down alone in a graveyard by the middle of the night. Many of them live their life in fear and in troubles. But when God bless you, He bless you in peace. When God prosper you, He prosper you in peace. So kingdom wealth must have its source first in Christ. Entrusted. Note the word entrusted. Not given. Entrusted. You are a caretaker of kingdom wealth. Kingdom wealth is not given to you for ownership. Kingdom wealth is always entrusted into your hands. The reason for entrustment is that the owner can demand for it at any time. Not to make you back into poverty, but they can demand for it to be used for the purpose for which it has been given to you. If you don't know all of these things, forget kingdom prosperity. Do I have our attentions tonight? We looked at types of kingdom wealth. And number one, we say spiritual wealth. And that has to do with your relationship with God. Are we together now? Your relationship with God. And that we said, your relationship with God, your submission to His Lordship, that you can be so wealthy and the world is calling you a billionaire and you are not ashamed to go on your knees anytime before your Lord and your Savior. That you can be so wealthy and own conglomerate of businesses, and when God still call you, you can be rolling on the floor to worship your majesty. So rich that you are not attached to any of this wealth. Your relationship with God. Spiritual wealth. Number two, we talked about mental wealth. And that has to do with your level of enlightenment. The level of the renewal of your mind to come into alignment with the reality of the kingdom. If all you have is money and you lack spiritual wealth in the context of the kingdom, you are poor. If all you have is having mental health and lack spiritual health in the context of the kingdom, you are still poor. He said, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. So kingdom wealth is such that you are going up financially, you are going up mentally, you are also going up spiritually. Every wealth that takes God away from your life is already a destruction. Let me say that again. Every wealth, every job, every business, every relationship, every resources that takes the supremacy, the lordship of God away from your life is already a distraction program for you. If you are still with me, say amen. And then we talk about health. health wealth, like I like to call it. That talks about bodily prosperity. Many are rich in the world, but they are poor in their health. They use the money they earn to service their health. Respectfully speaking, the co-founder of Apple was rich in billions of dollars, yet he died of cancer. But in this kingdom, we have a complete package. Somebody say we have a complete package. And then we did a little in... Okay, we look at the relational wealth also, talking about your relationship with other, with men, relationship with cosmos, with the world. And then we step into what is the main, the key factor of this teaching, financial wealth. And then I told you I'll begin to mention money. I mentioned money so much, I may still mention money tonight. So if you don't like to hear money in the church, you may have to forgive me, or just bear with me. But there is no way we will teach about prosperity without mentioning money. We are so religious, we pretend money does not matter, just give me God. Until poverty press you, you'll find yourself begging those who are not even born again. What an insult will that be for the believer who is filled with the Holy Ghost to be at the mercy of a sinner who does not know God? What insult will that be for the believer who has the anointing and the grace of God on his life to be tossed here and there by a man that does not have God even in his life? What more can be more insultive to Christ and to the kingdom for the believer to be told by a boss that does not know God and said, I will make sure you go hungry. I will make sure hunger kill you and your family. And there is nothing the believer can do about it, because the rich rules over the poor, and the servant is, the borrower is always servant to the lender. Then I started by talking about money in itself. You see, many of the time we chase the paper. Can I have 1,000 or 500? Let me have that paper again. Let me have that paper again, quickly. 1,000 or 500. I like to show that paper. We come alive, those who are sleeping, those who are distracted. We come alive so much when we see this. What is this? Shout now, don't form. You don't know it. You don't want it. Eh? What is this? Shout if you know this thing. This is what the world is chasing for. This is what somebody is planning to rob another person now, and possibly planning to kill if the person resists his robbery tonight because of this. Somebody is going to the bedroom now to prepare for his night allotry because of this. And if you don't understand the dynamics of being in charge of this, you will find yourself having big dreams from the Lord and not being able to actualize it, because there is no vision. You will be learning later on tonight. There is no vision. There is no dream. Even if it comes from the Lord, that will be fulfilled on this earth without the assistance of this. But this that I'm holding is not money. If you are unless last week, you will remember, this is not money. Why? Money is a spirit. Money has a soul. Money lives in the body. Listen carefully. I said we are sailing deeper tonight. Money is a spirit. That means the real thing called money is not the paper we hold. This is why many has held this and yet they are still poor. Many has won jackpots. Many has won bets. Many has won many things that give them access temporarily to the paper. But because all they know about money is that it's the paper, they could not handle it for long. I have seen people who want to be a millionaire and won the millions from there. 2 years after they won that millions, they have gone back to poverty. Because just because you have access to this does not make you wealthy. Money is a spirit. Money has a soul. Money lives in the body. The same way every man is a spirit. You have never seen me before. What you see always is my body. Are we together now? But when I grow old and I'm done with my assignment on the earth, I will put this body down and the real me will go to the maker. The real me lives forever. Are we together now? But this is a temporal me. This is the clothes I'm wearing as much as I live on the earth. If all you know is this me, you don't know me. Because this me can do so little. This me you see cannot heal the sick. This me you see cannot raise the dead. But there is a me that is inside this one that can heal the sick, that can raise the dead, that can cause a shift in the life of a man. So if all you know is the paper, you don't know money. In the days of our fathers, we have people who play pools. Have you seen them before? They play pool. It's like the Naira bets or the bets that we have this day. And if you sit down with many of them, they will tell you that in 1974, they won 500,000 from the pool. And the man telling you that story is poor and beggarly now, begging for what to eat. What happens? They had access to the body, but they were not taught the dynamics of being a master over the spirits. The spirit of money is called Mammon. You remember that word? Mammon. Just go and get the last message. Mammon is not of the devil. Mammon is not of the devil. I need you to understand that the devil did not create anything. The devil only take advantage of the same thing created by God and use it to destroy men. For want of examples, please pardon me again to use this example. The devil did not create sex. Are we together now? But you and I agree, you agree with me that the devil has taken advantage of sex to destroy many destiny in the world. You will not say that the devil made sex. God made sex. But he made it for a particular period of time for a confined environment. Mammon is not of the devil. Actually, Mammon is of God. We saw in the book of Haggai, silver is mine, gold is mine. That is the spirit of Mammon. They are under the custody of God. God designed that his children will be a master over this spirit called Mammon, to the end that you will use Mammon to serve the Almighty. Let me say that again. God designed that the believer will become a master over the spirit of Mammon, to the end that you will use Mammon to serve the Almighty God. But sadly, and very painfully, we are using the Almighty to serve Mammon. When we fast to get Mammon. When we pray to get Mammon. Everything we do in respect of God is towards Mammon. But from the beginning, it was not so. What is the soul of money? The soul of money refers to the value of that currency. I asked a question last week. Let me see if you have changed your mind. Let me ask it again. If I hold 1,000 naira, and I hold $1,000, and I hold £1,000, and I even hold €1,000, which one will you go for? Naira for Niger. Okay, if I'm holding just two currencies, 1,000 naira and £1,000, which one will you hold? I mean, you will deny. But you agree with me, listen carefully. You agree with me that on the two paper, they write 1,000, 1,000. You would agree with me that on the two paper, it is only the logo of naira that is different from the logo of pounds on the paper. In most cases, £1,000 will be smaller compared to 1,000 naira in terms of bodily value, physical value. Because our currency is one of the biggest in the world. You agree with me? And so what will make you go for that little small dollar and jettison naira? Do you know that if I even hold 1,000 naira and I hold $100, how many of you will go for naira? How many of you will go for $100? So it means the paper is not the money. The paper does not determine the value of the money. It is the soul, the soul, the soul, the soul, the soul of the money that determines the value of the money. I'm taking my time to open your eyes to all of these things again, because I'm going to be teaching you mastery over this thing. Now that we have known that this is only a body, this is not money, then what is money? It then means money is the value that we receive in exchange for the value that we give. Write that definition and keep it. I'm coming back to it. Money is the value that we receive in exchange of the value that we give. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Let's just note that, put it aside. Let's go somewhere now. Do you think, look at me, everyone, look up, look at me. Do you think God wants us to be wealthy? Answer me carefully. Think about what you are saying. Do you think God wants the believer to be rich? Do you believe so? Do you believe so? Why? Why does God want us to be rich? You know the reason why many of us are aware of so many things and we are never able to access the reality of those things. We only know it's available. We don't know why it's available. Why is what gives access into anything in this kingdom? Until you understand the why for the resources of the kingdom, you will never be given access into that resources. Until you understand the why for the anointing, you will never access the anointing. Until you understand the why for influence in the context of God's kingdom, you will never access it. Until you understand the why for kingdom prosperity, you will never access kingdom prosperity. Why does God want us rich? I have suffered too much. Even God is aware. I grew up in a poverty family. You said God is good now. God is merciful. If he's a good God, let me too taste money now. Let me show the world. If that is what you think, you have spoken well, but you are wrong. You have just sounded to me now like Pelina. Like Anna. Pelina is mocking me. What is these things? I got married before this woman. Can't I become pregnant too? Lord, are you not a good God? I've been coming to Shiloh. Show yourself. That's how many believers pray. And they believe that God will not say, okay, I'm coming. I will show myself now. No, no. God is not your younger brother. You can't psych him. No, you can't psych him. If you are truly my God, prove yourself. To who? To you or to the world? You and the world means nothing before him. Listen, every time, let me give you a key that will help you in life. Every time you catch a rhema of God's provision for you in the kingdom, before you rejoice, find out the why. If you suddenly discover that God has called you to be above only and not to be beneath, it's the word, it's a fact, it is true, but find out the why for that resources. But because God never do anything without a reason. For anything to become a revelation that will play out in your life, there are two things you must understand about that revelation. Knowing the what is not enough. Having known the what, you must know the why, and you must know the how. If you don't know the why, if you don't know the now you have only gotten an information, not a revelation. God want me to be healthy. God want me to live my days in sound health. Why? Why does God want your body to be healthy? Why does God want you to live a long life in a good health state? Because he said, I shall not die, but live. Not to roam around, to declare. To declare the word of the Lord in the land of the living. So now you understand why God wants you to live. Not for yourself, but for his sake. Are we together tonight? So why does God want us rich? Number one, let me help you. Number one, if God is blessing you already, shout amen. Number one, God wants us rich and comfortable. This is why God gives us wealth. God wants the believer to live a life of comfort. Hear me again and again. God is the God that is interested in the comfort of his people. It was in the book of Isaiah. He said, comfort ye my people. He wants comfort for his people at all time. Isaiah 65 and verse 21. Give us that scripture. Let's fly now.
We worship you, King of kings, Lord of lords, faithful and true, Lamb of God, we worship you.
Isaiah 56:5 and verse 21. It's projected. Look up everyone and see the scripture. It said, they shall build houses. God is speaking to the believer. Don't ever let anybody lie to you that God is not interested in your well-being. God wants you well and comfortable. Look at what the Bible says. They shall build houses and inhabit them. God did not say you should manage to build a house. He said houses. This is God speaking. They shall build houses and live in them. They shall plant vineyard and do what? And eat their fruits. And eat their fruit. They shall build houses and live in them. They shall plant vineyard and eat their fruits. Give me the next verse. Let's see what is there. They shall not build for another to inhabit. And they shall not plant for another to eat. Look at what it says next. Even as they enjoy prosperity, even as they enjoy wealth, it said, as the days of the tree, so shall the day of who now? Of my people and my elect shall live long. To do what? Read it loud and clear. Can't you see it? Shout it loud and clear. My elect shall live long to endure. Is that what it says? To suffer. Is that what it says? To do what now? So God wants us to enjoy. Say, God wants me to enjoy. Believe this truth, sir. God wants us to enjoy life. God wants us to enjoy this part of his kingdom. God wants us to enjoy. And he wants us to enjoy for long. First Timothy chapter 6 and verse 17. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. You're so mighty in this place tonight. Thank you, Holy Spirit. First Timothy chapter 6 and verse 17. Please be faster. Thank you. Look at what the Bible says. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. Look at what the Bible says. Command those who are rich in this present age. God is speaking. Not to be hasty, not to trust in uncertain riches. But they should do what now? Now God is telling you that I haven't have access to his wealth and prosperity. I don't want you to be pompous. I don't want you to be proud. I don't want you to be arrogant. I want you to put your trust not in the money, but still maintain your trust in God. Then what should you do? Because God has given you to do what now? To richly
to richly enjoy all things.
God gives us money to enjoy life. God is not against the enjoyment of the believer. Permit me to say that God is the chief enjoyment officer, and he delights when he sees his believer enjoy. Proverbs 35:27. Is God helping us? Shout amen if God is helping you already. Proverbs 35 and verse 27. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Proverbs 35 and verse 27. Look at what the Bible says. He said, 35 is what I ask for, sir. 35. Oh, 25 and verse 7. All right, let's leave that. 3 John chapter 1 and verse 2. Let's leave that. Maybe there's a mix-up somewhere there. No, what I meant is Psalm 35 and verse 27. Psalm 35. Look at what the Bible says here. 27 now. Verse 27. Are we together now? Can you see the scripture? Can you help me with a loud voice to read it out? Are you ready? 1, 2, read it loud. Did you see that Bible, the word? Let them shout for joy and be glad who favor my righteous cause. Let the Lord be magnified. Who is the Lord? Is the one that has pleasure. You know what pleasure is? God is happy when you buy a new car. You are not the only one who is happy. God is happy when you build a new house. God is happy when you pay your children's school fees without being pursued around. God is happy when you eat good food. God is happy when you dress in nice attires. Anyone who teaches something contrary to this is an antichrist. God is happy when the believer lives a good life on the earth. God is sad when the believer lives in poverty. God is sad when the pain that comes upon the world also comes upon his people. God is sad when the economy that is affecting the world is also affecting his people. But God takes pleasure in the prosperity of his saints. God wants us to enjoy life. Say it after me. God, my Father, wants me to enjoy life. Please, sir. Please, ma'am. Brothers and sisters, believe this truth. This is the foundation. This is the foundation. If God is your Father, then you must know that your Father wants the best for you. How many of us are parents here who will delight in seeing our children suffer? You want them to wear rags? You want them to beg for food? You want landlord to shout at them before they can pay their school fees? Who makes you think? What makes you think that you're a better father or a better parent to God? If you want your children to dress the best, you should know that God wants your children. God wants his children to dress much more. Do you know how the wealth of a man is known? The wealth of a man is not known by what the man puts on himself. Listen carefully. The wealth of a man is not known by the things he puts on himself. The wealth of a man is known by what you see on his children. Because the children are always the glory of the Father. Jesus told us in John chapter 17. He said, glorify your son so that your son can bring you glory. That means the way you bring glory to yourself on the earth is by bringing glory on your son. God wants us to live a good life. Because when wealth is at your custody, one of the major assignments of kingdom prosperity is that it will help you save time and help you to be effective. Are we together now? It helps you save time and it helps you to be effective. Kingdom Kingdom prosperity helps you save time. Kingdom prosperity helps you to be effective. If your wealth did not help you to redeem time, then you are not wealthy. Because the highest commodity on the earth is not money, it's time. Are you with me now? If you have money and you don't have time, you are poor. That's why a dying man right now at UCH, a billionaire right now at UCH, is ready to give all the billions just to get more time on the earth. Why? If he can get more time, he can get the money back. But if you lose the time, there is nothing else you have that makes money anymore. So kingdom wealth helps you save time. Imagine with me, brothers and sisters, that I have a ministration right now in Lagos. And I'm supposed to be in Lagos in another 5 hours. Now, there are different means of getting to Lagos. Are we together now? If I begin to trek, will I get to Lagos? If I begin to trek, will I get to Lagos? I will get to Lagos. I will just not get to Lagos between the time. You see that now? The time that I need to get to Lagos, the event would have happened and passed. And I may not even get to Lagos in a state of health that can do anything anymore in Lagos. But I will get to Lagos. If I use a bicycle, will I get to Lagos? But will I get to Lagos on time? In relative to what I have to do in the next 5 hours, will I get to Lagos on time? If I take a bike, will I get to Lagos? But compared to trekking, will I get to Lagos faster? But will I get to Lagos on time? If I take a car, a very good car, will I get to Lagos? Will I get to Lagos in 5 hours? The Lagos you know, and get to the island in 5 hours? The question is yes and no. You know why? Anything can happen on the road that will make 5 hours journey to Lagos become 10 hours. But if I have a chopper, helicopter, will I get to Lagos? Will I get to Lagos on time? That is what wealth does. It's not just for prosperity. It is to cover time, to be more effective. Meanwhile, the car will be running at its full speed. But you and I know that if a driver tells you bye-bye, he's going to Lagos by 10 o'clock in the morning. If I pick my chopper, after 1 hour when that he has left, I will still get to Lagos before him. And in a relaxed mode. So this is what wealth is for. It helps you save time. And it helps you to be effective. Another example, then we continue. If I drop this mic now, assuming we don't have a public address system here, if I'm preaching with my mouth, just my voice without amplifier, will you hear me? Will you hear me? But will you hear me effectively? Can I preach like that for 2 hours without mic? If I try it, what will happen to my throat? It will burst. Blood will come out. So that is what wealth does. Every time prosperity comes your way, it is to help you save time. It is to help you to be effective. Why do you need an Android phone? My mates are using Android phone. You are wrong. Why do you need a big phone? Ah, that's what everybody is using. Many people carry big phones in their hands and they live a small life in the life. Many people have Android phones. They don't use it beyond text message and call and maybe at the best WhatsApp. I need an Android phone because it will help me to be more effective. Effective in what? As a man of God, when I need to study the word, I don't need to carry the big hardcover Bible. On that Android phone, I can have access to hundreds of versions of the scriptures. Is that true? I can have access to concordance, the lexicons, even in that small phone I'm holding. And I still be able to receive calls. Now we are talking effectiveness. I see small boys kill themselves, fight, do all manner of things. And at the end of the day, their goal is to get a big phone. And they carry that big phone. Do you know that survey and research has revealed that an average African person does not utilize the 10% of the potential of their smartphones. An average African person does not utilize the 10% of the potential of their smartphones. That phone can do so much more, but your ignorance has kept it to just to do the same thing the touchlight phone can do. There are people making millions holding the phone you are holding. That is their office. Where is your office? The phone. And on that phone, the guy buy houses. From that phone, the guy buy cars. Legitimate businesses. Kingdom wealth help you to redeem time and to be effective. Whosoever waste your time, waste your life, because your life is fragmented into time. You see that now? This is why it's important. God wants us to enjoy life. God wants us to be effective. God wants to see your skin even at 40, at 50, at 80, still looks like the skin of a child. A poor man cannot have that level of decorum and decency. God loves it when his children look good. I know this so much because when I look at my biological children and I see the beauty of God on them, I say, Father, thank you. The joy and the satisfaction that comes to my heart, that I'm not only going out in the morning and coming back in the evening for vain, that I can look at my children and they are dressed well and they are looking radiant and beautiful and they are communicating intelligently. No matter how much you call the school fees, I will pay it with delight because I can see the result. That is a man. What makes you think I'm a better father compared to God? God wants me to enjoy life. He wants me to enjoy life. Believe me. Believe these things I'm telling you. God wants you to drive a good car. I was driving... God just led my family with another good car and we're driving to this program, and I told my people, I said, this car is very comfortable. I mean, I said, I'm happy with it. Father, thank you. And I can imagine the joy that comes to the heart of God. It was so sunny outside. My people did not know. When they came out of the car, they said, it's hot here. God wants you to live that. God is not happy when you are jumping bike up and down. Do you think the governor would have been proud to see his own child on the bike? Where is Dele? Do you think he will be happy to say that? To what makes you think God is the one holding back the resources of the kingdom? No. There is something about your ignorance. And we are going there. Don't worry. It's a buffet. God loves it when you live in beautiful houses. We don't have time. We would have gone to the book of Exodus or Deuteronomy, where the Bible says that they shall build beautiful houses. God does not want you to build, face me, I slap you, ile alabara. No. There must be a clear difference between those who are of the Lord and those who are not of Him. Beauty and glory is one of the character of the kingdom we belong. And if we are of the kingdom, the beauty must be seen on us. If God is helping you tonight, say amen. I haven't said that. Let me bring the balance. Somebody's thinking, Apostle, don't bring any balance. You have said it now. Enjoy life. Let me bring the balance. I learned this from a great teacher whom I loved and referred so well. And I'm sure he also learned it from the fathers and the teachers ahead. That there are four levels of living when it comes to wealth, when it comes to prosperity. There are four levels of living. Number one is the survival level. This is the level of lack. This is the level of struggle, toiling, and hustle. It's a curse. God doesn't want the believer at that level. Are we together now? Survival level. That's the level one. Number two is the comfort level. This is the place where your needs are met, but you can't give to others from it. If you want to eat, you have what you want to eat at that time. But it is not enough to share. That's level two. Your needs are simply met. Are we still together now? Level three is what is called luxury. Luxury is when you have to enjoy and to share. Is somebody with me now? You have to enjoy and to share. That's level three. Level four is called extravagance. Extravagant is when you have had so much money that the money has become a god in your own life. You no longer prefer God. That was the level Nebuchadnezzar got to when he beat his chest and said, "Is it not my hand that has built this great empire?" And God said, "You have gone beyond your boundary. I will bring you back to become an animal so that you can learn." When he came back from that school of animal, Bible says he came back to himself and said, "Of a truth, there is a God in heaven that rules in the affairs of men." What level does God want the believer to stay? It's the level of luxury, where all your needs are met, and then you still have so much more to share, and yet it doesn't sit in your heart. Where all your needs are met, and you have much to share, and it does not sit in your heart. The key word there is that it does not sit in your heart. That's the key word there. But if you understand this, says God wants you to enjoy life. Poverty is one of the greatest weapons in the hand of the enemy of the believer. You know why? Whosoever feed you, look at everybody, look at me. Whosoever feed you controls you. Are we together now? Whosoever feeds you is in charge of your life. It determines when you sleep. It determines when you wake. It determines when you are happy. Also determines when you are sad. Whosoever feeds you controls you. Number two, why does God want us to be wealthy? Why? Number two, to preach and to demonstrate the love of God on the earth. To preach and to demonstrate the love of God on the earth. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17 to 19. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 17. Jesus is taking care of me. 1 Timothy, let's look at the scripture. Can we see it now? Command those who are rich in this world, in this present age, not to be hasty, not to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God. Are we together now? Who gives richly to enjoy all things. Give me the next verse. Let them do good. Let them do what? This is the purpose of wealth. Let them do good, that they be rich in good works. Ready to do what, sir? Shout it loud. Ready to do what? Come alive, everyone. Look at me. Ready to do what now? Ready to give. Willing to share. Whatever wealth you have and you are not willing to share is sustainty as a man that lives in poverty. Let them be ready to give, willing to share. So God wants us to be prosperous so that we can, through our giving and our sharing, preach and demonstrate the love of God to the world. Give us the next verse, 19. That's the last verse. Storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, and that they may lay hold of the eternal life. God wants us to be rich so that we can have resources to share. God wants us to demonstrate. Listen to me. There are certain cycles you get to. There are certain people you will meet. The gospel to them is not Jesus is Lord. The gospel to them is putting your hand in your pocket and giving them money. There are certain people that you will meet. What they need is not prayer power. What they need is money power. Somebody, for instance, walking to you and say, I know you are a Christian. I know if I share my secret with you, you will not laugh at me. I need to pay my house rent. My landlord will throw me out in another 24 hours. How much is the rent? It's just 250,000. Your message to that person at that time is not God. So God will supply. God will supply is coming from you because you cannot supply. But if you have tens of millions and hundreds of millions in the account, will you tell her God will supply? What will you do immediately? My sister, God will supply, but let me be the supplying hand through which God will use. Which message carry more power between a man that pray for the poor and a man that gives to the poor? This is the system politicians use. They know that as much as there is poverty in the land, the only language a poor man hears is giving money. When you can give a poor man money, you can control him as you want. Believers will come there and pray for them. They will tell you, you prayed for us last week too. And they are not wrong. So God does not only want us to preach with our mouths. God wants us to preach with our giving. May God make you a custodian of this kingdom wealth to share in the name of Jesus. Be active. Be sensitive. I know what I'm saying. Somebody just missed that moment now. I know what I'm saying. If this is all you see, you are not seeing correctly. I take the mercy of the Lord to reverse, and I decree that word again. That may God find you and make you his custodian to share his wealth, demonstrating his love to humanity in the name of Jesus. It's a good thing when you can meet the needs of people. Not only will God be happy, even you will be happy. Within my little ability, as God grant grace, I have been able to reach out to men, and I see the wonders of giving men the resources they need. There are people who have come to meet me as a man of God and say, Apostle, pray for me on this case. And when they are done discussing it, I say, okay, may the Lord supply, but I also put hands in my pocket or get their account number and transfer money. And I can see almost immediately how their love for God grows. Do you know that you can help people love God more? By giving. Our God taught me such a message in 2019. I was living in an estate, and in front of my house is a poor family. In fact, there were two or three families. And during the December period, going towards Christmas, God said, can you be my outstretched hands? In fact, before December, I said, yes, sir, whatever you want. He said, okay, beginning from this month, I want you to be buying food stuff for those three families. I said, it's just one of them. He said, no. So that very first month, I went to the market. I ordered for their food and stock the normal food that people here will need. Rice, beans, garri, and what they need. Package it in sack. And the Lord said, kneel down. I knelt down on it and I prayed on it. That they would not only receive a food to eat, they will receive the love of God. And I carried my wife, myself, we carried together. And then we went to that family. And we said, this is from Jesus to you. They said, thank you. They said, no, it's not from us. They said, thank you. Someone said, no, it's not from us. It's not from me. I am not this nice to bring this to you. Jesus asked us to come and give you and to tell you that he still loves you. It was a Muslim family. I could see tears rolling down their cheek. Jesus, where does he live? Why does he love me? Why will he send you to me? I am not a Christian. It doesn't matter. The love of God was given to all men, not to Christians only. And every month, I watch the blessings, I watch the joy, I watch the gratitude as we call the family. Come, your foods are ready. And they will come and carry it with delight, with joy. It's a blessing to really be a blessing. And may God make you a blessing to nations in the name of Jesus. That I stand beside a widow Mama, your husband has just died, but there is a husband to the widow, and he said every month I should be giving you 100,000 to cater for whatever you need. Do you need that? You think that man with that woman will still cry? Many of the people that cry when their wife, when their husband die, they don't cry because they so much are attached. Yes, they will miss the man, but they know who will now be catering for what we eat, who will now be giving us food to eat. That is why many people cry. You hear it in their conversation as they sorrow. They said, are you going to leave us in this pain and poverty? But when God sent you as the outstretched hands of his love, and you appear and say, Jesus, send me to you. Here is 100,000. Here is 200,000 every month. If you have any needs that this cannot get up for, do not hesitate to call me, because Jesus sent me to you. What do you think will happen? Do you need to tell that person to love Jesus back? No, sir. No, sir. No, sir. So God wants us to be rich so that we can, through our wealth, demonstrate his love to the world. I got tired of wishing at a particular point of my life, seeing poor people and wishing I could help them. I said, Lord, I'm tired of just wishing. There are people who does not need the anointing. There are people who does not need power. There are people that all they need is the resources. I am tired of wishing I could help. Empower me and see how much I can do. Why should a baby child, a little child, die in an hospital just because the parent could not afford 10,000 naira? That is a destiny sent to the world to make a difference. Die just like that because they could not afford 10,000. May God make you his outstretched hands. 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 You and I know that there are certain people that when we are in a situation in our lives, when they step in, we begin to rejoice because it's as though God has come. When they step into your family, you begin to dance and say, ah, thank God, thank God. They have not given you anything, but you know their presence is the outstretched hands of the love of God. May God make you such people in the name of Jesus.
Whenever you want to bless, Lord, you can bless through me. Whenever you want to give, Lord, you can give through me. Whoever you want to lift, Lord, you can lift through me.
That when a man of God is fasting and is about to kill himself because of money for the program that he's planning to do, God can find me and say, son, go and see this man. And I already understand, because God does not send you to give what he has not given you. Let me say that again. God will never demand from you what he has not given you. It's a blessing to be able to reach out to people. To say, man of God, let your fasting and prayer be upon the power of God moving in the program. Let it be upon the anointing. Let it be upon all that is. As for money, don't fast and pray for it anymore. Anytime you have need, call me. Call me. Call me. Call me. Many of us in this place, we will sponsor the agenda of God in billions of dollars, and we will still not feel it. It will still be a privilege for us. Moses is powerful. Find out how powerful those who are lifting out the hands of Moses. Moses is only powerful to the degree to which the people lifting his hands are powerful. You want to see the frailty of a man of God? It is the absence of financial ability. A man of God can begin to cry, who just healed the sick, when the lender comes to knock his door to demand for what he borrowed from them. when God can make you the one who will hold the hands of men. I said, on this journey of destiny, I am with you, sir. You are with me in prayer. So many people said it. No, I'm not like one of those people. When you need money, look at me. Look at God. But I'm also here. And they put their call through. Or you find out they have a program. And you say, I understand that a conference is about to happen. They say, yes, sir. And you understand that souls will be saved. People will be transformed. They say, yes, sir. Okay. How much are we looking at the estimate? They say, if you can get 150 million naira, that will be okay. Okay. I'm sending a check of 200 million naira. Let anybody not worry about the money. Do you know that many of our parents stop going to churches because every time they call for money, they don't have what to give? I have had people, believers, who you were asking, you didn't go to church? They will say, yes, I didn't go. Why? I don't have offering to give. So it means the nature of man is ashamed when he does not have something to offer. God is looking for treasurers on the earth. The first treasure he had failed him. Judas was his name. God is looking for men that he will give custody of this heavenly resources that is available. Wealth is available. It is not useful in heaven. It is meant for the earth. God is only stranded because many men who claim to be available, their heart is not pure. So he's searching the heart. This is why we have been praying every Wednesday that the Lord will set our hearts aright. Because if God can find the right heart, his resources will flow there. He said the eyes of the Lord searched to and fro the earth, looking for a man whose heart is right. You don't need to pray if your heart is right. Heart is right. What a joy it will be that you can walk into our eyes and said, I saw the last Ibadan Great Awakening Conference 2022. Oh, I saw the marvelous things that God did. Sir, I want us to take it bigger. God is giving me a vision for a stadium packed. I'm seeing great men of God coming to minister there. I'm seeing mighty things happening. I'm seeing the land taking over. Sir, can I pledge 500 million naira? You think we cannot host a program when we have money? God has given his words already. We will bring the ministers of God. We will bring a concentrated anointing upon Ibadan. And Ibadan will be subdued at once. God is looking for men. The best way to preach the gospel, listen to me, never forget. The best way to preach the gospel is not through words, it's through influence. Influence is more powerful than words. If you look up to me for supply every time, if I'm an idol worshiper, the day I call you to come and worship that idol, you will not be able to object. Because there is something that would have rubbed on you by the reason of looking up to me. You know that I have results from the idol I worship. Let me tell you one truth, sir. Influence will do much more than a million posters will do. Believe me, sir. Influence will do much more than a billion adverts on Facebook will do. Influence. 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 Kanye West got born again a couple of months ago. You don't know how many people have turned to the Lord Jesus just by that one man getting born again. Yet there are poor people getting born again every day, and it doesn't make any difference. If Michael Jackson ever said Jesus is Lord, he would have won more souls than the preacher who preached on the crusade ground. We are talking influence here. Influence. Influence. People are dying their hair to all manner of color now because they saw certain celebrity doing it, and because they have results with it, you see everybody dying their hair. That is the same way things can travel when men of influence are the one behind it. The gospel of a poor man can never be heard. The anointing of a poor man can never be appreciated. No matter how wise you are, he said the wisdom of a poor man is not heard. Influence. Influence. That God can put upon you
the resources that the world will need. They will not like Jesus, but they cannot do without you. And so when they come to seek that resource, you say, well, you are in my domain, you come for my help. We have to spend 30 minutes praising my Lord Jesus first, and then I will listen to your problem. You think they will not listen? The new prime minister of the United Kingdom, when he was appointed, when he stood at that door, number 10 house or something, I can't remember now. When he stood by that door, the first thing he did was to perform his ritual in accordance with his faith. They could not stop him. The Qatar World Cup that is going on right now, before they did the opening ceremony, they pray in the name of Allah. BBC said nonsense, we will not hear it. They didn't stop. CNN said nonsense, we will not show it. They didn't care. As far as we are concerned, if you come to our land, you must bow to our God. Listen to me, brothers and sisters. You want to win the world, understand this kingdom world system, and you will see yourself doing so much of evangelism. Imagine God bless you, and you can buy a big bus, and you buy that big bus, and you go to your neighborhood of people that you have been feeding. You pay their school fees, you pay their YSP. I say, today is Saturday. We are going to the place where I have been taught. Everything you see happening in my life, I was taught. God gave me. I want to take you to that place where I was taught these things so that you can enjoy it. You think they will say no? The same people you have been giving flyers and begging and fighting and will not come will suddenly begin to say, sir, it's 3 o'clock. Oh, when is that program we are going for? No man is busy. You are just not influential enough to watch their attention. The same man who said he's busy can get another call, and that call will take him to Lagos. It is not that he hates you. It is who is calling him. This is one agenda that the kingdom of darkness have been using to keep us poor so that it can keep us little. So when we go to preach to the world, they say, oh, these born again Christians have come, please be praying for us. When politician comes and said, I am from XYZ political parties, are you ready to join my party? Here is 50,000 naira, 5 of you share it. Now you follow me, we are going to secretariat to have a meeting. They didn't plan it, but you see them saying, let me wear my clothes. And you have been standing saying, Jesus is Lord. Come and go to heaven. If you don't receive him, you will go to hell. They will say, oh God, we don't know if there is heaven or there is hell. The one we know is we have earth. Let me enjoy earth first. We cannot talk about heaven or hell. Whosoever preach poverty to you is an enemy of the cross. Believe me. You can't keep a people humble by keeping them poor. Many of the people we call humble, they are not actually humble. They are humbled by the situation they are in. When they touch little resources, the real state of their heart becomes manifest. God does not look at the physical activities, he looks at the hearts. Oh, may God make us people of influence. Don't miss these things. See, one day I will teach you the mysteries of amen. God taught me this last week. He said, amen is not just a response to prayer. The reason for amen is that the Bible says two cannot work together except they be agreed. So if God has a plan and he declared that his plan, the way you agree is by saying amen. Amen means so be it. That means I agree with it. So every time you say amen, when a man of God prayed for you or somebody prayed for you, they have expressed their wishes. Your amen is saying, yes, let it be so. May God make us people of influence. May God make you a person of influence for his kingdom. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 16.
Lord, you can do through me whatever you want to do. Lord, you can do through me whoever you want to feed. Lord, you can feed through. through me.
Look at what the Bible says. Ecclesiastes chapter number 9 and verse 16. It said, then I said, Solomon is speaking, a man of wisdom. Wisdom is better than strength. Equation 1. However, the poor man's wisdom is despised, and his words are not heard. Wisdom is better. Wisdom is greater than strength. But when the poor man is wise, he's considered to be a fool, because his words of wisdom will not be heard. Do you desire to be a blessing to men? Then subscribe to Kingdom Wealth System. You can only be a blessing if you can meet people's need. And most of their needs are not always going to be spiritual. There are spiritual needs, yes. There are psychological needs, yes. There are relational needs, yes. But there are material needs. There are material needs. Never downplay the importance of the material needs of people. It is the reason why they wake up as early as possible in the morning and sleep late in the night. Not that people love to walk, but they walk most of the time for their material needs. You will hear somebody live in Lagos, for example, who will say, I wake up as early as 3 a.m. and I don't return home as late as I don't return home anything later than 12, later than 11. And you think he loves his job. It's not true. Nobody likes that kind of job. It is the needs that keep pressing him. Number 3. If God is blessing you, say amen. Number 3. Why does God bless? We wrap up here. You notice we are taking it bit by bit. I'll take one more thing here and then we'll be on our way home. I'm taking it bit by bit. So that this is it's a classic from part 1 to part 2. I don't care if we get to part 7. It's a study material to sit down and listen to it again until you disown the mentality of poverty and embrace this kingdom mentality of wealth. That's why I'm not rushing it. Number 3. Why does God bless us and give us access to wealth? Zechariah chapter 1 and verse 17. Help us tonight, Holy Spirit. Thank you. It's projected, and I want us to read it again. Number 3. Why God blesses. Look at it. Again, proclaim, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, so that you don't mistake who is talking. He's telling you up front. Thus saith the Lord of hosts. What did he say? That my city shall again spread out through prosperity. Through prosperity. The Lord will again comfort Zion and will again choose Jerusalem. What is the third reason why God gives us access to wealth and prosperity? For kingdom advancements. For kingdom advancements. For kingdom advancements. A city shall be spreaded abroad. His gospel shall be spreaded abroad. The agenda of the Father shall be spreaded abroad by the prosperity of the saints. So it means a ministry can have great potentials. But when prosperity is lacking, it will remain a church only known in the locality. How many men of God
have received great vision from the Lord. They have written it down. They have prayed. God has released the grace. But finance is saying no. It's not time. Listen carefully, brothers and sisters. Every vision requires finance. Every vision. I don't care what world the Lord has called you. I don't care what department of endeavor. I don't care what mountain of influence. Whatever vision God gives you will remain in the realm of the spirit if finance is not available to power it. Every vision requires finance. Every vision requires finance. And vision will be granted. The agenda of God will be granted. The desire of God will be granted if finance is not available. God can say, I want to save Ibadan. I want to do a great crusade in Ibadan. You will raise for me Ibadan Great Awakening Conference. And I say, yes, Lord, we will do it. And he said, now do it. But I look at my pocket, there is no money. It will remain between myself and God. It will never happen in the physical. Every vision is at the mercy of finance. My city shall again, through prosperity, be spreaded abroad. My city. Vision dies when finance is missing. Every vision will die when financial power is not available. Every vision will suffer when financial power is not available. Man of God, don't just be carried away by the visions. Don't just be carried away by the power. Find out the kingdom wealth system that has been reserved for our making. If all you get is what God wants to do, if all you get is what God is saying, if you are not getting the systems of financing what God is saying, you would have what God has said, but you will not have the performance of it. It takes money to host a program. Even in this early stage of this great ministry, you need to find out how much goes into running every of the services you come here. You need to find out how much we commit into the finance of this at these basic levels that we are in. Don't downplay the power of finance. They are the reason why many people never step out. Do you know that God can be showing you one thing and your pocket will be showing you another thing? For those of us who are called into the ministry, listen to me. God can show you a crusade in the stadium and great ministers of the gospel like Dusi Oyekan, like Nathaniel Bassi, come in for that program, and your pocket will show you the one you will host in the balcony, because you cannot afford the one in the stadium. And if you don't learn how God blesses, what you will have is the one your pocket is showing you. Pay attention to these things. Your vision is at the mercy of this. Your vision is at the mercy of finding out the ways of the blessings, of the prosperity reserved for those in the kingdom. Lord, find us as custodian of your wealth. Find us, Lord. I have met great ministers of the gospel, vibrant with fire in their bones, and they will come and say, sir, this is what God is saying to me, this is what God is doing. I said, so why, what are you waiting for? They will say, I'm here to get an auditorium, I'm here to rent a hall. You know, I still believe in God for money. And 1 year will become 2 years. And the people who are to be saved by the ministry of that man, you will see them dying and going away and scattering abroad, because the man does not have the finance power. May money not limit your dream. I say, may money not limit your dream.
I say, may money not limit your dream. May it not be said about you that you can do so much, but finance kept you so little. You can go to bed and have visions, and then you check your account. They say, you are just dreaming. As far as I know, this is who you are. Ah, Lord, find amongst us men and women that you can give custody of your kingdom resources. We vow that we will not misuse it. Time will not permit me. I can tell you stories upon stories coming to my mind of men of God who will walk to me in the bank and say, sir, can I take a loan? And I will look at them and shake my head. Attend to them with courtesy and with respect. But when they are gone, I will say, Lord, this man is even ready to take a loan with his name just to sponsor your agenda on the earth. Are you this wicked? He will say, no, I'm not wicked. But I cannot break my ways, and I cannot alter the principles that I have put in place. My hands are tied. Not that I cannot stretch out my hand to do what I do, but I have laid down the patterns for my believer to walk into prosperity. They were not meant to be borrowers. They were meant to be givers. They were meant to be lenders. Not to the individual, to nations. Many of them out of frustration, they don't even know I'm a man of God. Many of them out of frustration, out of their urge and trial to convince me to believe in that vision, to be able to package a loan for them. They begin to share with me their encounters. They begin to share with me their convictions. Sir, God called me. I'm a man of God. Soul will be saved. If I can just get this amount and money of the time, how much are we talking about? The same amount a Yahoo boy will pop a champagne with at the clubhouse is what a man of God is dying to host the agenda of God on the earth. Unfortunately, the kingdom wealth does not answer to prayer. Kingdom wealth have no respect for fasting. There is a pattern. There is a law. There is a principles. Precept upon precept, line upon line. If you don't find them, you can wish it, you can pray and cry for it, you will never get it. But somebody is getting it tonight, and by this series somebody is getting it. Let me tell you one agenda God has, just that's going to be just a little crash course for you as I wrap up. Do you know that God is smart to the extent that he has a program designed in the kingdom that is called wealth transfer? Have you heard of it before? Wealth transfer. It's a system designed by God to bless his people by all means, to make sure that in the earth, those who are at the custody of wealth and prosperity are his people who will use it for his own sake. Let me show you from the scripture. Proverbs 13 and verse 22. Proverbs 13 and verse 32. I'm wrapping up. Proverbs 13 and verse 32.
Through me, whoever you want to save, Lord, you can save through me. Whoever you want to help, Lord, you can help through me. Whoever you want to bless, Lord, you can bless.
Look at it. Wealth transfer system that God designed in the kingdom. God is a father full of love and compassion. Read this scripture with me with a loud voice. 1, 2, go. The B part is my emphasis. I want you to read it with a loud voice. I want to hear every one of us. Can you see it? If you can see it, shout hallelujah. Now, with a loud voice, let's read the B part of the scripture. 1, 2, go.
it again. Do you know that the believer, I've read this scripture many times, and many of the times in our churches, they will make it a prayer point. Lord, bring the word of the believer. Bring the word of the sinner. Lord, bring it. Bring it to me. Bring it to me. It's not by praying. It's not by saying bring it. There is a formula to this. There is a way God ordained this. This is real. That the wealth of the sinner is stored up for the righteous. God desires that the sinner labors and stored up wealth, and the righteous will be brought access to it. But not by prayer, not by wishing, not by killing the sinner. There is a way God has ordained it. Do I have the time tonight? One more scripture. Isaiah 45 and verse 3.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
I'm saying amen to the scripture that has just been displayed.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Now, are you ready to read it? So that you can now say amen with understanding. I will give you the treasures of the dark places. I just taught you what amen is. Let me give you another chance. Are you ready now? I will give you, God is speaking, I will give you the treasures of dark places. I will give you the hidden riches of secret places, that you may know that I, the Lord, who call you by your name, I am the God of Israel. May this become our experience in the name of Jesus. Sit down. Now we have said amen. But it's not just by amen. July 28, 2021. While we were at the encounter night praying, the Lord brought to me a word. He said in that word, and I'm quoting in verbatim, he said, the time has come for me to perform the wealth transfer that I promised the believer. And I'm going to be using these two strategies. Now, for the sake of time, and because I will still cover it in the curriculum of this teaching, I will not say so much about the strategy. I will just lay them out. But if you ever think that one of the ways this wealth will be transferred is by earning a salary, you are joking. If you will ever think by one of the ways that this world will be transferred is by praying and shouting and fasting, you are wasting your time. He said, I will effect this reality through two things. Number one, creative ideas. Number two, revelations, ideas. And that talk about entrepreneurial ability, entrepreneurship ability. Kingdom wealth transfer is a strategy by God to transfer the wealth of the sinner to the custody of the righteous. But there is a way he goes about it. There is a way he goes about it. It's not a new thing. It has always been. Egyptians emptied their purse, their treasuries, their golds and their silver, and gave it to the Israelites in one night. In one night. The Bible says when they left Egypt, Egypt became empty, for all their resources have been given to the Israelites. But how did he do it? Exodus 3 and verse 21. Let's fly, sir. Let's fly. I have a few minutes. I have to round up now. Exodus chapter 3 and verse 21. Look at what the Bible says. And I will give these people favor. So one of the strategies, I'm going ahead of my time, but don't worry, I will still come back and do detail. One of the strategies that God transfer wealth is by giving people favor. May favor becomes your new identity. that somebody can see you and say, I love you. I love what you are doing. Can you be in charge of this school? Can you be in charge of this business? Can you take care of this conglomerate for me? And like, may that become your experience. I say, may that become your experience. I have seen people build company, and when they were done, they said, I had interest in manufacturing this product before, but now that I finished, I don't think I'm interested. Can you manage it? Can you take care of it? Okay, be in charge of it. Whatever you want to give me, be giving me. Don't limit this God, though. Don't limit this God, though. This is how it will be transferred to the believer. If God says that you will not build house for another to inhabit, it means there are people who will build house for you to inhabit. That they will be done building the house. And they say, I didn't like the design anymore. And the Lord put in my heart just to come and give you. Or something said I should give you this house. I've seen people who bought cars and said something within me. I don't know. I don't know. You will call it Holy Spirit. But I think my mind is saying you need a new car. And I've not been able to sleep. Can you manage this car? I've not come to teach tonight. I've come to impact. And I'm impacting on you right now. The grace that will make men look at you and transfer resources and transfer companies and transfer conglomerates and transfer wealth and prosperity to you. In the name of Jesus. I will give these people favor in the sight of the Egyptian. Don't think the Egyptians were nice to give the Israelites their resources. No, there is something upon the Egyptian that compelled the Egyptian to give their resources. It's called favor. It's called favor. You may not be qualified, but the favor of God qualifies the qualified. I will give these people favor. Somebody pray. Favor, rest. That your boss can look at you and say, the way you have been active in this company, I want to travel abroad. Can you take charge of this company and manage it? And don't say to me whatever profit that you make. Favor, rest. Favor, rest. Rest. Rest upon me. Don't say I'm too small. Don't say I'm too little. Don't say I'm still a student. Don't say I've not gotten the certificate. Favor is the qualification. Favor, rest. Favor, rest. Hallelujah. Look at what he says. He said that when they go, they will not go empty handed. Let's see the result. Exodus 12, 35 and 36. Please be seated. Please be seated. We're going to pray, but I'm giving you the precepts of prayers. When we are done, I will give you 5 to 10 minutes to stretch it. This thing must rest. This thing must rest. I have had people who just walk into a meeting and sat down in their midst. And when they were counting the number of people to favor, they counted. He said, no, I just came to deliver a message from so-and-so person. He said, you are here. We need 7 people. We have 6 people. You are the 7th person, so be part of them. I had a story of a young man one day when his master sent him to go and greet his friend. To go and give his friend something. And when he came to his master's friend, he met his master in a meeting. So when he came in, he went out. The master said, no, come, sit down. So he sat down. And then somebody stood up who was also with the big man. And said, okay, so how many are we? And they counted 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And when they counted the man said, no. The master's friend said, shh. So he kept quiet. And when they were done, they said, now everybody make sure your international passport is ready between now and the next 2 weeks. International passport. I don't even have international passport. And when he found out, he discovered later that they were going on a business training trip to the United Kingdom. That was how this man went to UK. That was how this man got the job in a company he never applied for. Favor is real, oh. Whosoever told you you have to labor for things, lies. There is a system in this kingdom that brings people access into what they did not labor for. Didn't Jesus told you in John chapter number 4? He said, other men have labored, but I send you into their labor to harvest it. I put that order of favor on you in the name of Jesus. In my place of work, I've been to places who will say, we have gotten this account opening package to open the account. It was given to us by somebody from another branch. But now that you are here, you take it. Go and do it. Walking into the labors of others. I will give them favor. Look at what happens as a result of the favor God gave them. Now the children of Israel are done according to the word of Moses, and they had asked from the Egyptians articles of silver, articles of gold, and of clothing. Next verse, please. It said, and the Lord, is somebody seeing this? And the Lord had given the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. What happened? So that they were granted them whatever they requested, and they plundered Egypt. You know what it means to plunder? You only plunder a people you have captured in battle. Now, these ones of their own volition, they didn't know what compelled them. That was why after the Israelites left, they were chasing them until they were caught up in the Red Sea. Because the whole of Egypt was emptied to the Israelites. If you don't understand this system, I'm ready for kingdom wealth. It's not by labor in this kingdom. There is a system called favor. 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 Believe these things. Believe these things. That your boss can look at you, Pastor Sheung, and said, I look at the way you are teaching students in this school. I'm not interested in this school business. Even though it's a big school now, I want to relocate to Australia. But can you take charge of this school as your own and run it? Don't say it's impossible. With God, all things are possible. I have seen men who were minding their business until they brought into business they never found. Business they never found. It was our dear mother, Pastor Mrs. Ebukun Awoshika, who was sharing her testimony how she was called into a board of Binance, one of the biggest companies that trade cryptocurrency in the world. That's not by labor, sir. That's by favor. She sat on the board of First Bank, not by labor, not by cutting corners, by this thing called favor. She's a woman, no. Every woman here who had been relegated because of your sex or your gender, who had been made to believe you are only a mere entity that is not useful, I put an anointing on you this night that will distinguish you for favor in the name of Jesus. She said, I have stood before presidents. When I talk, they listen. Who will not listen to the gospel of a rich person? Let me show you another one. See that? I'm wrapping up now. Let me show you another one. Wealth transfer. You remember the story of Jacob? Jacob received what is called, you have a lot to learn. We are just getting into the depth of this message. Jacob received what is called the blessing from their father Isaac. You remember that story? He robbed Esau to come into the blessing. And then he received the blessing. And Rebekah advised him that your brother will kill you if he finds you. Now that you have taken the blessing that belongs to him, go to my brother, my elder brother's house called Laban, and stay there for a while. Are we still together now? When he went there, Laban was a farmer who reared cattle, lots of cattle. So when Jacob came into that house, Jacob came with nothing. Somebody said nothing, but he came with the blessing. I will teach you what the blessing is. I will teach you that what the believer has is what is called true riches. And it is these true riches that will compel wealth to come your way. One of them is favor. Another one is called the blessing. Jacob came into this man's house, and the man thought that he has gotten a cheap labor. And Jacob began to serve the man. Jacob began to serve the man. And one day Laban said, what shall I pay you as a wage?
He said, instead of giving me silver and gold, make sure that you give me speckled cattle. Any cattle that is speckled, give me as my wages. Don't give me money. I will show you where he got that secret from. Genesis 31, from verse 9 to 16. It's a long reading, but I'll quickly read it. I'll read it, then we will pray this thing called favor upon ourselves tonight. You don't have to labor. Listen to me. If I have to labor by my earnings to do most of the things God is doing in my life, I will not get them done in 50 years. If I'm saving 100% of what I make, there are certain things I will not do in 10 years. Yet God will give it to me in 1 month. I understand this thing called favor, sir. You can't meet me and not love me. It's on me. It's not about you. It's not about if you are nice or you are not nice. There is something on me that makes the hardest of men to become a nice man to me. It's called favor. It's called favor. It's called favor. Genesis 31. I'm reading from verse 9. Look at what the Bible says. Now, this is the confession of the event that has happened. And you will have access to it now. So God has taken away of your father. He's talking to the children, because Jacob also married the two daughters of that man, Laban. You remember their story. So he's speaking to them, giving them how he came into his wealth. I know that I came to your family empty-handed. Let me tell you how it happened. So God has taken away the livestock of your father and had given them to me. Next verse. This is how it happened. Are you ready now? He said, at the time when the flock conceived, that I lifted up my eyes and I saw in a dream. Somebody say in a dream. Somebody say in a dream. And I saw in a dream, and behold, the rams which were leaping upon the flocks were streaked. Now listen carefully. God gave him a vision of his spiritual activities, of the manipulation, if you are permitted to use that English, that God is about to cause, because he has struck an agreement with his master that any castle that has ports, give it to me. You take the one that does not have ports. And as at the time they were having that agreement, all the cattle were spotless. Laban was happy with that agreement because he knew that by biology, there is no way a spotless cattle will meet another spotless cattle and produce a spotted cattle. Do you understand? If a spotless cattle meets another spotless cattle, they will give birth to a spotless child. An African man cannot meet another African woman and give birth to Oyibo. Is it possible? No. That's the simple biology. So he said, this one will serve me forever. Where will you get spotted cattle for? But God showed him a vision. And he saw in that vision that there was a ram from the realm of the spirit that began to have intercourse with this flock, with the flocks. And this one has gray spotted. So God was not only impregnating the cattle by physical meeting. God defines a spiritual means of carving out a spiritual cattle. After the physical one has done their own, a spiritual cattle will now come and meet with them who is spotted. And look at what happened. And the angel of the Lord spoke to me in that dream, saying, Jacob. And I said, here I am. Listen. And he said, lift up your eyes now and see all the rams which leap on the flocks are streaked and speckled and gray spotted. What next? I have seen all that Laban is doing to you. So God was watching, and God was saying, when my manipulative system come in, this guy will bite his finger. I have seen all that Laban is doing to you. Next verse. I am the God of Bethel. I am the God of Bethel, where you anointed as pillar, where you made a vow to me. Now arise, get out of this land and return to the land of your family. Next verse. Then Rachel and Leah answered and said to him, is there still any portion of inheritance for us in our father's house? You know what happened? As a result of that spiritual manipulation, all the cattle in the house of Laban became spotted. And spotted cattle belong to who? Belongs to Jacob. So the guys put their hands and say, Jesus, did you leave anything for our father at all? It's called spiritual manipulation. If the devil can manipulate things against men, believe me, sir, God can manipulate resources, manipulate situation in the favor of his own people. May that manipulative system begin to work in your favor. Oh, I need you to say amen with believing in your heart. May that manipulative system begin to work in your favor. I went to the University of Ibadan to ask for one of my certificates two weeks ago. And when I got into that hall, I met people sitting down and I did a little interview for them. How long have you guys been waiting? She said 3 hours. Another said 2 hours. I said, I don't have that. While I stood there, and I said, what are you waiting? They said, we are waiting for somebody in that office to come and attend to them. I stood there with them. Somebody just opened. I didn't know anybody there. Somebody from that room just opened that gate, that door halfway. Opened the door halfway and just look at me. I look at him. He just said, I didn't know him. He just gave a nod and winked at me. So I wanted to say, we are all. Then I remember the favor of God. So I turned back. I followed him in 5 minutes. Collected my document. What he was supposed to check, he didn't check it. He just put it and said, okay, this is. He signed it. I came out. I was on my way home. Now watch this. The people I met there ran after me. They said, are you not doing again? I said, I'm done. What did you do? I'm a child of God, I don't lie. They said, what did you do? I said, I didn't do anything. Oh, I was just called in. The lady looked up. Expression on her face is that, God, you are not fair. God is not fair because his favor is upon some. I did what they were trying to do in 3 hours. I did it in 15 minutes. I didn't give one dime to anybody. I didn't beg anybody. I didn't know anyone. But there is something upon a man that when he appears before the king will prefer him. Rise up on your feet. Let's pray. Let's pray. Let's pray. You are going to be your own prophet tonight before I begin to speak the word of God upon you. You are going to begin by shouting, Lord, let this thing called favor rest upon me. Let it rest. Let this thing call favor rest upon me. Let it rest. Let it bring an end to my labor. Let it bring an end to my hustle. Let the favor of your kingdom rest upon me tonight. Favor rest. Favor rest. Favor rest. Rest upon me. Rest upon my life. Rest upon my finance. Terminate every iota of labor. Somebody pray. Somebody pray. I don't have to labor to get things done. There is a resource in the kingdom that is called favor. I open my heart tonight and I receive it. Let it become my new identity. Kanina Sava Eberos Kebilata Embraka Tokobesh Elabado Ashamela Camilo Kabia. Let it rest upon me. Put an end to my labor by your favor. If you have to go through the normal protocols, my brother, you are not walking under favor. If you have to go through the normal protocol, you are not walking under favor. Favor breaks protocol. Favor breaks protocol. Favor is the unfair system of God to lift his people. Pray. How many things can you do by the energy of your labor? How far can you go by stretching your ability and your power only? Let favor carry you. Favor is the wings. It can relocate you to where you are not qualified. Favor is the wings. It can put you in the class you are not qualified for. Put your favor on me. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. If you belong to this family, you would agree with me that one of our identity is favor. If you are in this family and you still have to labor, press, and forget things, check your connection. Check your connection. The place we used by the mercies of God was by the favor of God, without a dime collected from us. Who would have given us access to this facility without favor of God? This thing is real, sir. I remember the second car I was going to use in my life after the Lord taught me this mystery. I went in with a friend to Kama to buy a car. And when we got there, the car dealer said he had two of this kind of cars. And my friend bought his own for millions right while I was standing. And I said, I like this car now that there are two. And my friend is buying one. Let me too buy the other one. I need a car. He said, how much do you have? I said, as I'm speaking, I didn't even have kobo. I said, but this car is my own. He said, why do you talk like this? How much will you say? I said, do I need to tell you the amount again? Can't you see the amount your friend is buying? I said, I would only pay 50% of how much he pays. The guy looked at me, laughed, and rolled on the floor. Then I looked at him eyeball to eyeball. There is something on you, and it is consciousness that makes it work. Even if you go to herbalist and they give you charm, they will tell you to be bold with it. I looked at him and said, if you don't sell this car for me, nobody will buy it. He said, I said, I mean it, sir. Then I left. He called me 2 days after. Come and pick your car. I said, even that amount, I don't have it yet. I will give the one I have and we'll talk about how to pay the rest. To let you know, it was not just coincidental. The new one the Lord just delivered happened exactly the same. So much so that the person who sold it, when he came to see the car, he said, what did you use for me? No. I can't sell this car anymore. I said, okay, what you have sold. It's called favor, sir. Don't you see what happened to the Egyptian? They gave their resources to the Israelites. When their eyes opened, they say, what happened to us? Chase them, chase them. When they tried to chase them, their God still swallowed them up in the Red Sea. It's called favor. Lord, everywhere I go from today, favor becomes my experience. Everywhere I go from today, favor becomes my experience. Labor ceases in my life. I enter into the realm of favor. Can you pray in 2 minutes? Can you pray in 2 minutes? Sakapala tebes. Embrekatebele kaparatos. Embreko sabate. In Jesus' mighty name, we are praying. Be on your feet, everyone. Are you ready to agree with me now? I taught you how to agree. I decree by the God of heaven, the maker of the heavens and the earth, the father of all spirits, that beginning from now, every eye that sees you favor you. Every eye that sees you favor you. Every ear that hears of you favor you. Every eye that sees you favor you. Every organization favor you. And the Besibras Cavalata, I usher you to the realm of tears and favor in the name of Jesus. The kind of favor that will make you feel bad. You know what I mean by feeling bad? When you hear the testimony of people who have been waiting for 4 hours and then you did it in 5 minutes, I felt bad. I felt bad, like, how can people be waiting for 4 hours? And I didn't lobby anyone. The kind of favor that will humble you, the kind of favor that will bring tears of joy to your eyes. I said, may that favor rest on you tonight in the name of Jesus. May he rest on you in the name of Jesus. Believe what I'm declaring tonight. I came with an anointing of the Spirit upon my life. I came tonight heavily strengthened and empowered by the Spirit of God. Every area of your life where you have labored, every area of your life where you have toiled, every area of your life where you have tried and you have been humiliated, I take away your labor. I replace it with favor in the name of Jesus. I replace it with favor in the name of Jesus. He said, other men have labored, but I, God speaking, Jesus is speaking, I am sending you to reap where you have not sown or labored. I declare, beginning from tonight, where you have not labored, where you have not toiled, where you have not struggled,
May favor be compressed on you in the name of Jesus.
Myself and my wife went to meet someone on the day, was having an event, and there was somebody there who was doing everything to get attention, to get money. But this man just seeing my wife and just a little dance to say congratulations. The man put his hand in his pocket and spent what is somebody else's 2 months salary and gave it to her just by sight. I decree in the name of Jesus, when men sight you, the first thing that comes to their mind is, how can I favor this man in the name of Jesus? There are people like that, oh, that when they see you, that what they are thinking is, what can I do? What can I do? I must be able to do something for this man. I decree beginning from now, when men sight you, your thought of favor, your desire to live that will favor you comes to their mind in the name of Jesus. Return back with testimony of favor. I say return with testimonies of favor. I say return with testimony of favor. I say return with testimonies of favor in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. Father, we thank you. While we are still standing online and on ground, you need to understand that the favor of God is only for his children. And this wealth that we have been teaching about is only for those who are the believers. I want to lead you to the Lord tonight. Or if you have been born again before now and you have lost it, you are no longer in fellowship with him, I want to reunite you with your Lord. I want you to lift up your hand wherever you are and say, Lord Jesus, tonight I make up my mind to give away sin and the ways of darkness. I embrace your love. I declare with my mouth that Jesus, you are the Son of God. You died for my sin, and God raised you from the dead. Right now, I receive your life. I am born again. I'm reunited with you in love and in fellowship. I will do your will from now and forever. In Jesus' name. I am born again. I'm a child of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, glory be to Jesus.
Father in heaven, holy is your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
We believe that you've been greatly imparted. To get more updates about the movement and to download our messages, visit www.ariseshinechristiannetwork.com.
Also, you can join us on our social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Telegram, and MixLR at ArriseSCN.
Or you can also reach us on WhatsApp or call us on 0705314-5157. Keep shining.